Genesis chapter 42. I want to draw your attention this morning to the verse 36. Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children? Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Especially the words, all these things are against me. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, the famous poet William Cowper said. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense. The brethren of Joseph have returned safely to the land of Canaan. They come to their father Jacob, the Jacob who had sent them out, Jacob who had sent them down to Egypt to get corn. He now receives them again. The mission has been accomplished. Their sacks are laden with corn. They have provision, at least for a while, for the great famine that they have entered into. Even their money has been restored. The silver is back in their sacks, and they have that money to be able to go back again to buy more corn, and that was why Joseph restored it. But Jacob is not happy. He is, in fact, overwhelmed with despair, as our text suggests. The corn does not rejoice him. The money returned does not fill him with joy. Rather, quite the opposite. It fills him with fear. Simeon is absent, disappeared as Joseph has disappeared, and he's not one bit pleased with his sons. He has not liked the story that they told him. In fact, there's even a question mark whether he believes it or not. And verse 36, our text, is his response. And I especially highlight the words that he says to them. All these things are against me. That's how he feels. That just sums it all up. And we want to see two things about our text. We want to explore, first of all, Jacob's judgment of feeble sense that he exercises when he says this. And then secondly, we want to see how wrong he is. How wrong he is in this judgment and in this assessment. First of all then, let's explore Jacob's judgment of feeble sense. And I emphasize, this is sense speaking. This is the flesh. It's not faith. Faith's not rising. Whenever Joseph talks like this, or Jacob talks like this and says, all these things are against me. He's judging the Lord by feeble sense. He's walking by sight, not by faith, when he speaks thus. And this is Jacob's interpretation of the providence that he has been experienced. And at the very outset, as our second point will show, he's wrong. He's very wrong. The conclusion he makes is erroneous. William Cowper, as we referred to him at the start, he had many trials. He had very many afflictions. He especially battled with dark depression on occasions, and sometimes was even suicidal. But one day he penned these words, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break and blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour the bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Jacob never heard those words, of course, but they are so true to his case and to his situation. God is actually being kind to Jacob. God is actually causing his purposes of grace to ripen in Jacob's life, to save Jacob and to save his seed alive in difficult days. God's being good to Jacob, and Jacob will see that one day, but he can't see it now. And thus he says, all these things, every one of them, everything that's happening to me, all these things are against me. So clearly he feels overwhelmed, and he does have afflictions. I don't want to minimize it. He is going through a hard and difficult time, but we deny that they are against him. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says, but none of them are against them in this sense. There are great numbers of afflictions are many, and they're heavy oftentimes, heavy in weight, and long sometimes in duration. But that's no indication that God has sent them to be against them, to harm them and to hurt them. However many the afflictions of the saints are, they shouldn't say, and they don't have to say, it's all against me. Let's not think Jacob is alone then in weakness of faith, brethren and sisters. And let's not think he's the only one who has failed to trust the Lord in hard times and in troublesome situations. Even the best of Christians today wouldn't behave any better. Even us saints who have a full Bible. Jacob didn't have a Bible. We have a full Bible. And we have greater measures of the grace of the Holy Spirit than ever Jacob had. But still, even today, we Christians, we think the same. We think that the trials and troubles are all against us, that they're sent to bring us down, that they're sent to defeat us somehow, that they're sent to discourage us, that they're sent to drive us almost to despair. And sometimes we just feel and think like Jacob feels and thinks this morning, and we don't realize God's good purpose in it all. We might even think God's against us. And I think Jacob's implying that. He's even implying the Lord's against him. All these things are against me. That's what Jacob is implying, I believe. And there are maybe some of us this morning, and you just feel like him. Do you feel like Jacob? Do you feel everything's against you? Do you even feel the Lord has turned his face upon you? And providence is frowning on you? And you're just so miserable this morning? Well, here's a text for you to think about, to consider, if you're saying such a thing as this, all these things are against us. And you know, Jacob, he's not the only one who said it. I think of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee in the boat with the Lord Jesus Christ. They must have felt something similar. There was that despair. There was that discouragement. You remember how there was a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the sea and the ship was full. And, well, the disciples are fishermen and they know what happens when a ship's full of water. And they thought it was the end. And the Lord Jesus, he's just sleeping as if nothing's happening. And they come to him and they wake him up and they say, Master, do you not care? Do you not care, Lord, that we're perishing? All these things are against us and even you don't even seem to care, Lord. And so I think they must have felt how Jacob feels just now. And how do you answer Jacob? You answer him the way Jesus answered the disciples. And if you feel like Jacob this morning, you have to be answered the same way the Lord Jesus answered the disciples. And how was that? Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why is it that you can't trust him for his grace? Why is it that you're being taken up with all the storm and the trouble, and you can't trust, and you can't rest, and you can't believe, and the fears are filling your heart, and they're flooding in like the waters flooding into the boat? Why can you not trust? That's how the Lord Jesus answered them. And that's the word we would bring to Jacob this morning. And that's the word I would bring to you this morning. You who say, everything's against me. It's bleak, it's sad, it's bad. Even the Lord is against me. He doesn't smile upon me. His providence is dark. And I have to say to you, don't judge the Lord by feeble sense. Trust him for his grace. You are a Christian. You're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You're trusting in him to save your soul. You're saved. So you trust him for everlasting life. And so even if you feel all these things are against you, trust on. So let's endeavor to understand how Jacob is thinking and what he means when he says all these things are against me. What exactly is he referring to? Well, the verse tells us. We don't have to guess what these things are. He's listed them. And then he says, all these things are against me. So he tells us, we don't have to go outside verse 36. Their father Jacob said unto them, me have you bereaved of my children? Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and you're going to take away Benjamin? All these things are against me. You'll notice that all of these things center around his family. They're all concerning his sons in particular. He names three of them. And so it's family affliction that is causing him concern and trouble today. It's family affliction that is paining him. And of course, brethren and sisters, we know that there's no afflictions get closer to the heart than those which involve our family, loved ones, our children or whatever. And that's what's getting to Jacob, the family problems. There is the trial of bereavement. Jacob talks about how he has been bereaved of his children. That's the word he uses. Me, you've bereaved of my children. Joseph, Simeon, Benjamin, the three that he names. Joseph's a past bereavement. Simeon is a present bereavement. Benjamin is a dreaded future bereavement. He's examining God's providence. It's dark, it's mysterious, and he's thinking all of that is against him. That it's been sent in spite, it's been sent in hurt, it's been sent to knock the heart out of him. Joseph is the past bereavement. Over 20 years now since Jacob handled his son's blood-stained coat that persuaded him that he was now dead. He's sure he is dead. Joseph is not. He says later on in the chapter, he says he's dead. He's sure he's dead. But Jacob still feels the pain of it. 20 years later, it's still hurting him. It's still fresh. And the wound has freshly been reopened by their not coming back with Simeon. Simeon is the present bereavement. Jacob, the wound is the same as with Joseph. He's a son as well. He uses the same expression in actual fact. Joseph is not, Simeon is not. It's true he's alive. That is, if he believes the testimony of his sons. The sons have sought to persuade him that he is alive, that he needs only to let Benjamin go back with them and Simeon will be restored. But Jacob won't allow that. He won't allow Benjamin to go back. He's never going to grant that as far as he's concerned at this present time. So Simeon is not. He's just as dead as Joseph. He doesn't expect to lay eyes on Simeon again. He doesn't expect to see this son either. Simeon is not. You've bereaved me of my children, plural. And if not the bereavement of death, the bereavement of separation, the loss of a loved one, either way, he's feeling it. You know, there are other ways of being bereaved of family and of friends. They can be forced to leave us. They may even turn against us. The wound is deep, whatever the cause of separation. Remember how the psalmist said, "Lover and friend, hast thou put far from me, even mine acquaintance into the darkness." That was a sore trial when he lost the friends. Whenever they went into the thick darkness and he was never to have their fellowship again, that was a sore trial. You remember how he said on another occasion, "My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore. They don't care anymore. They've gone. There's been a severing, a separation. My kinsmen even stand afar off." And that was a sore trial. It's a sore trial when people turn against you. It's a sore trial that those who you went in company with to the house of God become your enemies. "All these things are against me," Jacob says. And Benjamin is the dreaded bereavement. Jacob is called to surrender him. Jacob is called to entrust him to these sons, to bring him to Egypt, to let him go as insurance, to send him out as a missionary to the governor of Egypt to appease him. Because the governor said, "Bring your youngest son unto me, then shall I know you're no spies and that you're true men, and then I'll deliver you, Simeon, back up again." Will you take Benjamin away too? Am I going to hand him over to you? To appease some foreign governor in Egypt? I'm not for doing that. And yet he senses the famine is going to bite still further and they're going to need bread in the near future again. And he's going to be actually forced to have to do it. He senses a dread of it. Will you bereave me of him too? All of this is against me. Does the Lord love me at all? Why does he oppose me in his providence? Why is the way so dark and hurtful? "My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him in the way, what shall I do? You'll bring me down to the grave with my grey hairs." He dreads that. And so I ask you this morning, brethren and sisters, have people or things been taken from you? Are you separated from loved ones? Have family gone afar off? Have you had to surrender some to the mission field? Has death entered and taken some away? Have you a terrible dread and fear about the future of your children and of your family? Do you feel it's against you? That's how Jacob feels then. But there's something even more than bereavement in the text. There are other family troubles, even apart from bereavement. Jacob is sensing that these nine sons are not all innocent. I think he's even doubting their story. I think he's discovering something about these sons that he's not liking. I think he's beginning to think his sons are a disaster. Somehow in their hands, everything goes wrong. You know, he sends Joseph down to them and he disappears. And now he sends him out again on another mission, and Simeon now disappears. And now they want to take Benjamin. They want to take hold of the precious dear son, and they want to bring him away too. And he's doubting his sons now. He's wondering what kind of men there are. He's beginning to question their character. That's why he says, "Me have you bereaved of my children." And so he's not just talking about the three sons. He's talking about these nine. "You have bereaved me of my children." Joseph is not. Simeon is not. And you want to take away Benjamin too? He's having problems with these boys. You notice the emphasis in the text. It says, "Jacob their father said unto them." Them. And so it's not just Joseph, Simeon, and Benjamin. That's part of the problem that's against him, but it's not all of it. "These nine, you're to blame for the loss. Everything seems to go wrong in your hands." And I think he's beginning to realize the deceitfulness of these boys. He probably, as I said, doubts their story. And that money in their sacks, he's afraid. That's highly suspicious. Back with the money, but not back with Simeon. That's highly suspicious. Have they sold him too? Maybe he's thinking along these lines. Maybe he's beginning to think, maybe that's what happened, Joseph. You've bereaved me of my children. It's sinking in now. He's beginning to realize there's something more here. All of it's against me. It doesn't quite add up. His sons are traitors and deceivers, he's beginning to think. And there's only dear Benjamin who's left. And no wonder he says, "You'll not be taking him." And so he concludes, "All, everything, whatever way I look at it, whatever way I turn to think about it, however I take your report and your story up, everything's against me. Even the Lord, who is the Lord of providence, he must be against me too." But then secondly, why we have endeavored to explore this judgment of feeble sense, we have to say, and we do say it very, very strongly, Jacob is wrong. This is a true, infallible report of what he says. But what he says is not infallible. What he says is erroneous and wrong. He's quite mistaken in actual fact. In fact, the opposite is the truth. All these things are for him. You see, there are two factors in Jacob's case which cause him to speak like this. And we must always keep on board these factors whenever we're trying to weigh up providence. And we should weigh up providence. We shouldn't ignore providence. But we must interpret it in the light of Holy Scripture. But there are two factors that Jacob caused him to speak like this. One of them is a lack of knowledge. He speaks out of a lack of knowledge. He's not got the whole picture. We know that. We've been following the story. He hasn't got the whole picture. He thinks he has, but he hasn't. And you can't judge the Lord, and you can't judge his ways until you have the full picture, the full knowledge. And you won't in actual fact have that, brethren and sisters, until the great judgment day. You'll never have the full picture. And you have to always keep that in mind. You don't have the full knowledge. You don't have the whole story. And we may never even get it in this life at all. We don't have full sight. And therefore, we cannot walk by sight. You can't walk by what you see. Doesn't the Bible tell us that? Well, walk not by sight. Well, walk by faith. That's the way you have to walk. You see, he doesn't have the full picture. Joseph's alive. Joseph's alive. And he thinks he's dead. He's wrong. He's mistaken. He wouldn't say this if he knew that Joseph was alive. All these things are against me. He wouldn't say this if he knew that the one who was holding Simeon was Joseph. Joseph's the one holding Simeon. He's wrong. It's not against me. Joseph has Simeon. It's for him. It's for him. Joseph's the governor of Egypt. He doesn't know it. They're wanting to take Benjamin down to his dear son Joseph. He doesn't know it. Benjamin would be coming to Joseph. Benjamin would be coming to his, actually coming to his brother. And he doesn't know it. He thinks, all these things are against me. But they're not. They're for him. He doesn't have the whole picture. He's mistaken. He's very wrong. He's actually telling lies about the Lord. Not against him at all. He just lacks the perfect knowledge and has jumped to conclusions. And in your afflictions, brethren and sisters, you have to admit and think all the time, I don't have the whole picture. I don't know what the Lord is doing in this. I don't know everything. I mustn't judge him by sense. I mustn't judge by the little bit of knowledge that I have. I have to trust him for his grace, no matter what. I don't know everything. Only God knows everything. And I must trust him, no matter how it seems. I must trust him. The other thing is, he's gotten his eyes off the Lord and onto the problems. He's just overwhelmed. It's all pouring into him. He's like those disciples in the boat. All they see is the water coming in. You notice the old patriarch fails to talk about the Lord. He doesn't mention the Lord. You bereaved me. Joseph, Simeon, Benjamin, he talks about everything. He talks about the problems. He's going on about this and that and the other. Never a mention about the Lord. The Lord's not in the story. If you get it from Jacob's mouth. Because, you see, there's no trust in God. The faith is weak in him. He's not resting in the Lord. He's not enduring through this at all. Because he's not seeing the Lord. That's the only way you can endure through it all. If you keep your eyes on the Lord. You remember Moses, he endured as seeing him who's invisible. Jacob's not doing that. He's not seeing the Lord in it. He's judging God by what appears to be a frowning providence. He's not trusting him as the wise, good, and gracious governor of all things. And if you look at your problem, brethren and sisters, with the eye of sense, and all your problems particularly, all will appear dark and even despairing. You have to look with the eye of faith. And that's what Jacob is not doing. He has lost sight of the goodness and graciousness of God. He needs to look at the Lord. As Cowper said, trust him for his grace. Brethren and sisters, one good piece of advice founded on the Word of God is this. Don't read the problems. Don't try to read the problems. Read God. Read God. That is, read him in and through his word. Don't read him by his mysterious providence. Read him by his word. Don't judge him by his dark dealings. Judge him by his word and his sayings. Don't weigh him up by his mysterious works, which we can never figure out. Judge him by who he is. And he is good. He is so good. Trust him. Trust him. He's good. Look at Christ in the Gospels. See your good and gracious Savior. And while you can't explain all of this, trust him. for his grace. And you can, brothers and sisters, you can trust him. Your disappointments are his appointments. Remember how the psalmist so often expressed this. Aren't the psalms so wonderful? He said in Psalm 27, I had fainted. It just would have overwhelmed me. I would have given up. I would have bowed out of the battle altogether. I had fainted. Unless I had believed. That's the secret. Unless I had trusted. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of God. Trust that. He's good. Don't read Providence. These bad things happen to me, therefore he must be bad. No. That's wrong. Those bad things are really good things. If you put new it. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted within me? You're letting all these things flood in and drive you to despair. Why are you doing that? Hope in God. Trust in God. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You know, look at his face. It's a kind face. It's a gracious face. Don't look at what he's doing with his hands. And certainly don't try to read his feet. They're in the deep. You'll never see them. You'll never see them. Look at his face. Full of grace. And especially listen to his word. Grace pours out of his lips. Judge him by his sayings and by his countenance. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And so this despairing statement of Jacob's can never be true of the child of God. The great chapter in the Bible that proves that, of course, is Romans chapter 8. We've often referred to it. Jacob didn't have that chapter, sadly. But we do. We do. The Holy Spirit has given to us. We have greater measures of the Holy Ghost than Jacob ever had. With Romans chapter 8. That's the chapter to turn to if you feel like Jacob. That's the chapter to turn to when you're saying, oh, everything's against me, it's all against me. That's the chapter to look up. In fact, Paul might well have had Jacob and these words in mind when he penned Romans chapter 8. And whether he did or not, that's not the question. The Holy Spirit did. I particularly identify verses 28 to 39 of that chapter. I suggest that you read them. We'll not do that this morning. Time is gone. But I suggest that you read those verses in the context of Jacob's statement. All these things are against me. Two verses that I do point out. Two things that if Jacob knew, he could not have spoken thus. Two things, if he had known and remembered them, he would never have judged God by his feeble sense. The first one is Romans 8, verse 28. We know. This is what you need to know, child of God. Whenever you're about to say, all these things are against me, we know that all these things which are against me. This is what you need to know, child of God. We know all things work together for good. Does that sound like it's against you? It's working for your good. Do you not know that? That separation, that severing that's taken place, those hurts and difficulties in your life, it's for your good. It's for your deliverance. It's for the glory of God. It's on to your salvation. We know that all things
could never be against us, but all things must be working for good together, because they come from one mind and one hand, the sovereignty of God. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, to those of you who have your trust in your dear Savior, Jesus Christ. There's nothing against you in this world. Everything is working together for your good and your glory. Believe that. And instead of saying all these things are against me, have faith and say all these things are for my good. They're for my good. The other verse is, of course, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who or what can be against us? The Holy Spirit has Genesis 42, 36 and 9. All these things against me? God's for you, Jacob. Do you not know that? If God's for you, who or what can be against you? And so, child of God, if you're feeling like Jacob this morning, trust. Trust in your dear and precious and most gracious Savior. He doeth all things well, even your disappointments.